As I've searched the scriptures, especially the gospels, for important stories and important characters and the ones that I most gravitate towards, I've landed on the three figures from today's gospel as three of my favorites: Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. These three siblings, these three whom Jesus was closest to. I've spent hours of prayer just meditating in their house in Bethany. What were the relationships like in that house? The times that Jesus would just go there and rest, enjoying them. Maybe their kids or their grandkids were running around the house and climbing on Jesus. Maybe they were spending long days together, even into the evening around bonfires or playing games, throwing cornhole or something. Just the moments where they enjoyed one another. The times where Jesus was able to let his hair down a little bit and enjoy these three closest disciples, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, the ones whom he loved. That's what we learn from the scriptures, that these three were special in some way because they were selected by Jesus in his love. And I really feel through these relationships and through the stories we get in the gospels of these three figures, something comes into focus about Christianity, something that distinguishes us, something that's really essential to our faith, our religion. And sometimes people can, on one side or the other, say, well, aren't all world religions really the same? And it can be said on this side, well, they're all the same, and so just follow any of them, and any is good. On the other side, people might say, well, they're all the same, so reject them all, because none of them really does any good. But I feel that both of these extremes are false, and that there is something definable. There's something essential to Christianity, and it really comes into focus through the stories of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. The first thing I think that comes into focus, something that's so essential to our faith, is friendship with God. I think you can search other world religions, and you really don't find that in the way that we Christians enjoy it. God's not some master of whom we're slaves. God's not someone who's distant from us, whom we can't even look at or speak his name. God's not some force who's impersonal, like a Star Wars type figure, someone that I really can't put my finger on. God's not any of those things in the Christian faith. God is a friend. God's someone who wants to come so close to us that we would enjoy his love, enjoy his friendship. And we see that in the characters of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. The scriptures repeat it over and over again. They're the ones whom Jesus loved. They're the ones whom he spent time with. They're the ones who he invested in. And I think they're really a microcosm for the church. Jesus wants to be a friend to all Christians. He wants to be a friend to all peoples. He wants to come into our homes. He wants to let his hair down. He wants to be close to us, not distant. And that really comes into focus here: friendship with Jesus. And the second thing I think that really becomes apparent through the stories that we read, especially in the gospel today, is that for those who become Jesus' friends, he desires to bring resurrection power. He desires to do amazing things in the lives of his friends. He doesn't just want to be some guy who walks with us but really doesn't change us. He wants to be a friend who brings resurrection and life. Those are the two titles that he speaks about himself today to Martha. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I'm one who wants to come into the midst of your darkness and your stench and your sin. I want to come down into the tombs, and I want to raise you from them. I don't think we see that in other religions. We don't see an examination of death in the same way that we have in our faith, that the grave doesn't get the final word. The grave, when lived with Jesus, is an entrance into resurrection. It's a place where I meet Jesus, but I don't stay there. He brings me in friendship from the graves, from the tombs, from the darkness. And he bids me to rise. Lazarus, I say, come out. Don't be bound anymore. Don't be stuck in that stench. I want you to rise. And this comes into focus through this gospel today. It's one so imperative to the Christian mission. It's so imperative to our faith. We read this story over and over again. Lazarus's very name has become synonymous with resurrection. It's become synonymous, the same, with Jesus's resurrection power. And he extends it not just to a few, but to all who would believe in him and call him friend. Some of the details of this story really strike me. Martha and Mary, his two friends, left here after their brother had died. They come to Jesus, and it's if they were rehearsing the same script. When they come to Jesus, they say the same words. We hear it repeated in the gospel today. First from Martha, then from Mary. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. They come to him bearing this need, this really deep emotion. I'm sure there was sadness. I'm sure there was hopelessness. Lord, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. I thought you were our friend. I thought you were walking with us. We've seen you do amazing things. We wish that you were here, because he's been in the tomb for 4 days now, and there's nothing else to be said. And so they come to him really burying their hearts. This one whom they had laughed with, now they grieve with. They shed tears, and Jesus sheds tears. This is the shortest verse in all of sacred scripture, these three words, so profound. And Jesus wept. He laughed with his friends, he enjoyed his friends, but he wept with his friends. He experienced the deepest human emotions that we have. And even deeper, after he weeps and he comes to them, there's this really strange word in the gospel today. It's repeated twice. It's a strange word. And he became perturbed. It's kind of a weird word. Perturbed. Is that the best that we got at translations? And he became perturbed. Was he just a little ticked off? Who was he perturbed at? Is it the people weeping? Where does this come from? Where's this emotion really originate? He became perturbed and deeply troubled. I looked this up in its original language, the Greek. Perturbed, as it's defined today or translated, I think it even has a stronger, maybe even weirder interpretation. Literally, it means he snorted or he groaned in the spirit. Maybe even a little weirder than perturbed. Jesus snorts, he grunts, he groans in the spirit. In the face of this sadness, the weeping, the wailing, the grieving, Jesus has this bodily, visceral, spiritual movement. And the commentators on this story explain it that it's for this reason, for this mission, that Jesus came. He came to conquer sin and death. He came to heal the blind and the sick and the lame. He came to free us from slavery to sin. And so here in this story, when Jesus comes face to face with the enemy and his wielding of death, he looks at the enemy in the face and he grunts. He groans. He's a little ticked off at the enemy today, and he draws a line in the sand. It's the reason that Jesus came. It's the reason that at the beginning of his ministry, he goes into the desert. He's tempted by the enemy. He conquers him there, knowing that in 3 years later, the final victory will come. And now we have it in our sights. Here, as Calvary grows closer, the enemy and the battle become closer too. And Jesus looks in the face of the enemy today. He looks in the face of death and sickness and pain, all those things that were not there from the beginning, but entered the world through sin. And Jesus says, enough. Enough. You don't get the last word here. You don't get to reign today. And he walks to the tomb of Lazarus and commands him, Lazarus, come out. Come out of that pain. Come out of that darkness. Come out of that death. It doesn't get the last word today. And this is something that defines us as Christians. That Jesus looks into your eyes, into the ways that the enemy has wielded power in you, and he says, enough. I've called you my friends, and I don't want my friends to suffer these punishments. I don't want my friends to be enslaved to this enemy. I say today, enough. And he commands Lazarus, as he commands you and me, to rise, to be freed, to be healed. And these are the places where Jesus descends. It's the places where he wants to dwell with us. He doesn't just dwell with us when we're singing around a campfire. He wants to dwell with us when we've died. He wants to dwell with us when we've given up hope. He wants to come into the places that stink worse than a 4 days stench of death. He wants to come to those places, brothers and sisters, and call us to rise from them, to receive his resurrection power. And Jesus still rises from the dead. He still commands those who are lost and hopeless to experience his resurrection life. And this is what we come into these last 2 weeks of Lent. We who profess the faith of his believers, the faith of Christianity, we know that Jesus calls us his friends and that he calls us each to rise. So let's come to him today, brothers and sisters. Let's bring him our best and let's bring him our worst. He doesn't just make bad men and women good. He doesn't just make good men and women better. He calls sinners. He calls dead men and women to rise from the dead.